You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 2nd of December 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. We've reached the end of another week. Christmas is almost here. The weekend is tomorrow and it's starting early here because you know who we have on today. We have our special guest, Grandpa Dan, all the way from Texas. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir? How's life treating you?
Ho, ho, ho. I miss 1 week. I miss 1 week with you, Sven, and I'm back to just being a simple guest. It's great. Christmas is here. I'll soon be entering into my anti-Santa Claus rant. That'll be coming probably here in the next week or two. We'll probably get another week or two in before I have to go on my yearly Christmas tradition of ranting against Santa Claus. But everybody can look forward to that. It's always a fun time, always a fun time to be here with you for another great conversation for our Friday Daily Nationalist.
Well, of course, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving and a good week off. I trust you did. I did a special Thanksgiving episode of the Daily Nationalist, the first time I've actually done a solo Thanksgiving episode, which I recommend people listen to if they want to hear something optimistic. And today I thought what we would do is we'd have a general discussion about what is happening with Ye West, the artist formerly known as Kanye West. Yesterday he appeared on Alex Jones. I haven't actually seen the whole stream. I've seen some parts of the stream, and apparently he was saying that he loves Adolf Hitler. Shock, horror. But at the same time, he was also saying that he loves Zionists and he loves Jews. And this was because Christians are told to love their enemies, basically. And that's what he was tying into this. But this is really sort of just another thing that's been happening with this Kanye story. It started off and he did a couple of interviews where he was just talking about Jewish influence in Hollywood, Jewish influence in the banks, Jewish influence within his own life with his personal trainer, who actually started making threats, saying that he was going to, if Kanye didn't do what he was told, then he was going to drug him basically and prevent him from seeing his children. After that, he ended up losing his Adidas sponsorship, which is worth millions. I think Adidas lost loads of money, lost his Balenciaga sponsorship. Balenciaga have also been in the news for showing a child with a bondage teddy bear and also links to pedophilia in one of their adverts. So I'm sure he's quite happy to get dropped by Balenciaga. And of course, then he did this interview with I've momentarily forgotten his name. It was a Jewish interviewer anyway. It was quite a nice interview. It wasn't particularly offensive. And then after that, he hooked up with Nick Fuentes. And I thought, well, this is rather interesting. You have Kanye West, who is turning into a bit of a black ethno-nationalist. And here he is talking to Nick Fuentes, who claims to be a Christian nationalist, but also hits on a lot of the talking points of white nationalists. And then he wasn't just with Nick Fuentes, he's also with Milo, who is a gay Jewish man, basically. And Milo and Nick Fuentes are talking to Kanye West. And I'm sort of hoping that Nick is a calming influence on him. And then next thing we hear, they've gone off to Donald Trump's for a meal. They're at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. And of course, this is going to get lots of really bad press for Donald Trump, basically, for talking to Nick Fuentes, the white nationalist, and then also Kanye West, the notorious anti-Semite. And I think Donald Trump did pretty well. He just gave out a statement which didn't condemn either of them, but did say that he didn't know who Nick Fuentes was. And then after this, we hear that Kanye West has given his Twitter account to Nick Fuentes. So we saw a couple of tweets about praising Christ and a link to a Bible. And it does seem as if that's the link here, is this Christian nationalism thing. This is Kanye West identifies as a Christian. Nick Fuentes identifies as a Christian. Milo does now identify as a Christian and has apparently rejected homosexuality. He sort of appears to have turned over a new leaf. Milo does. And then you have this, this interview with Alex Jones, where he basically, Kanye West appeared with this balaclava on, looking very strange, and talking about Hitler and apparently denying the Holocaust. And then today we hear that he's lost his Twitter account. And at the start of all of this, it did look as if, well, this is interesting. You know, he's basically drawing attention to Jewish influence and Jewish power. And these subjects are subjects that, you know, you're just not allowed to talk about. If you talk about them, you get accused of being an anti-Semite or a racist. You get accused of hating the Jews. And I certainly don't think that Kanye hates the Jews. I think he just wants to talk about something which is quite obvious, but which people are not allowed to talk about because it gets equated to be of being hate with them. But then after seeing him on Alex Jones, I mean, it did seem as if, I mean, maybe it's just the clips that I've seen, but it does seem as if he's going a little bit over the top there. And I was hoping that Nick Fuentes would be a calming influence, as I said, but I'm not quite sure that he has been. So it's all been quite crazy just watching this, Grandpa. I'm sure you must have come across it. What are your thoughts on the Kanye West situation?
Well, I mean, there's a whole lot really to unpack here. And when you see a media personality, because this guy here, especially, I can't speak over, but really internationally, but for sure here in the U.S., I mean, this guy has he's a huge media personality. I mean, he's like the richest, most successful black man like ever. So, I mean, you know, his influence isn't zero. Yeah. When you have someone like that and they're in the spotlight and they're in the middle of controversy, it's real easy to forget. It's real easy to forget that, you know, this is still a person and they have the same stuff going on as anybody else. And what I mean by that is he's lost all of this money in business dealings. He's going through a divorce. Now, I'm just going to stop right there. Put anybody listening, put yourself in that, in your shoes. Let's say you just got doxxed for shit posting on the internet, and now your wife has divorced you and taken your kids. You're going to be under a whole lot of stress. Now, with that as a backdrop, I think the guy's done pretty good. I mean, they keep running around saying, oh, he's crazy, he's lost his mind, and all this. And, you know, considering just those two things, the financial pressure of losing a large amount of money, and the fact that he's going through a divorce, anybody just going through a divorce is going to be under an enormous amount of stress. I think he's done pretty good. Now, when he went on Alex Jones, it looked weird. He had that whole over his head thing. But that's something, that's a fashion thing. He's done that like for years. It's just, it seems weird to us because it's not our thing. That's not really necessarily even an out of the ordinary thing for this guy. I think it's important to remember, this is a human and he's going through a really nasty divorce. He's lost a ton of money. And at the end of the day, for speaking, I would say for speaking the truth, as you pointed out, it started off, you know, he was basically came out and was upset and complaining about some business dealings and how he had been ripped off time and time again, and how by and large, it was Jews controlling the entertainment industry. Now, this is where you run into the wall. Everybody knows they do. We've seen articles posted up, printed up from the Israeli mainstream Israeli press talking about, yes, we control the entertainment industry. We control the U.S. media. We control Hollywood. So, I mean, this isn't even, to me, a controversial statement. But instead, of course, we have this over the top. You're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to claim that they control all these industries. Everybody knows that they do. And this all has kind of it's all kind of snowballed, you know, it's kind of snowballed from there. I think he's having some hard times, or, you know, articulating some of this. I mean, on the Alex Jones thing, I haven't watched the full thing, but I did watch some of the clips. And I mean, I think what he was trying to convey with that, and I, you know, again, I'm not in somebody else's head and I can't really speak for them, but my impression of it was, by and large, he was just saying that, you know, Hitler's not necessarily evil incarnate. I mean, you know, he did do some good things for the German people. They did do some innovations, you know, and inventing some things, you know, and he's trying to say, you know, look, I don't hate anybody. I don't hate the Jews. I don't hate Nazi, because he's just being called all of these names. And I was skimming some articles before we sat down to do this show, and it was the usual stuff. Nobody ever says, addresses anything he actually says. We see this time and again. We've all experienced this time and again. Instead of addressing his points, you just have name callings, an anti-Semitic evil hater who's now loves Adolf Hitler and you know, wants to do another Holocaust or whatever, instead of addressing his points. And again, this all originally started about, he was complaining about business dealings and you know, how by and large he'd been constantly ripped off by Jews. And instead of that being addressed, it went off on this over the top. It was really, I found it really funny at the time, and I'm trying not to monologue here too much, but I found it funny at the time that, you know, he points out that Jews run all of this, have all of this influence. And the response to that was, you're not allowed to say that. We're going to use all this power and influence to cost you billions of dollars and get you kicked off of business deals and get you kicked off of social media. And at the time, it's like everybody was scratching their heads going, well, this kind of, you know, proves his point. I'll kind of wrap up my mini monologue because you touched on it already, Sven. That whole tweet that he put up, that message, that text from the Jewish, this guy's supposedly a personal trainer. Now, he had pointed out before this that everybody in the entertainment industry, Hollywood people, actors, musicians, they all have Jewish handlers. And that's what he's saying as somebody from the inside of the business. And, you know, and once again, instead of addressing this and saying, yes, that's true, or no, it's not true, or in something in between, you know, he gets called a lot of names. Then he puts up this copy of this text message where this guy who's supposedly a gym trainer is telling this billionaire black man that, look, here's how this is going to work. You're either going to shut the hell up, or we're going to have you chemically lobotomized, institutionalized, and you'll never see your kids again. So what's it going to be? Now, that seemed pretty outrageous to me. But we'll get into this, I'm sure, as we go. Like I said, I've kind of monologued long enough. It's a bad habit for me. I don't know, Sven. I mean, I think the guy, at best, he's a little eccentric, but I don't think he's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, isn't it? He's a little bit excitable, a little bit eccentric, and the fear is that they are going to portray him as having some kind of mental problem, and they could end up trying to get him sectioned or something like that. That seems to really be the way that they're promoting this now. As you say, they don't actually counteract any of the allegations that he makes. I mean, it'd be very easy just to say, well, you know, we're Jews, we make good businessmen. You know, we're good at doing deals for our artists. Yes, there are quite a few of us that are managers of musicians because we're very good at doing that. You know, there's nothing wrong with them saying that, but they don't. They just come out with, well, this is hate that's going on here. This is anti-Semitism. This is going to end up with Jews being physically attacked. And that's the reason why they try to cancel him. They try to take away all his business deals. But what that does, it just shows to everybody that Jews do have this rather incredible amount of power for a supposedly marginalized community. I mean, this is the world's richest black man that has been taken away. He's had his Twitter taken away from him. He's had billion-dollar deals that have been taken away from him. And thankfully, there are people that are still interviewing him. Like, he went on with Alex Jones. He's gone on with Tim Pool, and apparently he walked off the set. But what it does worry me is that this could end up looking really bad on Nick Fuentes. You know, he needs to be a calming influence on him. As I've said, I don't think Nick Fuentes had very much to say on that Alex Jones show. And it does look as if Alex Jones is now on Cozy.tv. I'm not sure if that's a permanent thing or whether it was just that stream that was put on there. I mean, if it was, then that is a turn up for the books. I mean, there's so many positives to this. but there are also these negatives as well. Apparently, after going on with Alex Jones, Laura Loomer appeared, another Jew that now identifies as a Christian. So you end up with Kanye West supposedly exposing the Jews, and then he's got two Jews on his team. So he's not saying that all the Jews are bad, is he? He can't be if he's got Milo there with him, if he's getting on well with Laura Loomer. I think what he's pointing to is this amount of influence and power that Jews as a group have, and a lot of it is on the left. I think that's the issue. And I think that is a truthful way of looking at the issue, because if you look at Israel, which is obviously now the Jewish homeland, and it's very right-wing. They have very right-wing governments, and they do right-wing policies, and they're extremely ethnocentric. But then if you look outside of Israel, the loudest voices amongst the Jewish diaspora are these left-wing voices that promote these left-wing ideas. And he's also Kanye West is also very much against abortion. If you think about when this started, this really started a couple of years back, didn't it? With his first attempt at being president and putting himself forward as a candidate for presidency. And what he was actually talking about then was abortion, and how many black abortions there are, and calling it an abortion holocaust. And then when we look at this overturning of Roe v. Wade, we see that a large number of Jewish advocacy organizations have come forward, and they've effectively said that abortion is a Jewish sacrament. I think that was a verbatim quote. Dr. E. Michael Jones has talked about this a lot, about how all these Jewish organizations came out and said, you know, abortion needs to be a right, and it was Jewish groups that pushed this. So I think there's this connection as well, because he is against abortion and he sees that there's this Jewish connection to abortion. You can see that there's this line that goes from there to here, where he's basically investigated these things and he's now drawing these connections. And don't forget this, what this started with after that was with him wearing a White Lives Matter t-shirt with Candace Owens along to a fashion show in Paris. And once he did that, that was what really, you know, set the cat among the pigeons. Then you got all these groups that were shouting that was an anti-Semitic dog whistle. Somehow it's anti-Semitic to say that white lives matter. And that's what really pushed him, I think, into going into this, because he was also talking about the Jewish influence in Black Lives Matter and how a lot of these civil rights groups that have advocated for blacks, a lot of them have actually been fronted by Jews. And that's also an issue which he's been drawing attention to. And of course, what you can say is you can look at this and you can say, well, all of this is now being talked about, and it's now being talked about in the public mainstream narrative, and people are having to discuss this, which is a good thing, because a lot of people have been saying, well, what is it that Kanye West is doing for white people? Well, he doesn't need to be doing anything for white people. Why should he do anything for white people? He should be doing things for black people. But the fact is, he's talking about these different groups in society and the influence and the power that they have and the way that they affect society. And he's talking about the Jewish group in particular and about how they have promoted abortion, and that has affected his group. And you also have Black Lives Matter that were supposed to be advocating for black people, and yet it looks like the people that actually took the money have all gone and spent it on other things. And also, when you actually look at what's going on, the black people that end up dying at the hands of the police, they were usually armed or trying to get hold of the police officer's weapon, or they were resisting a wet arrest. And in actual fact, it's white people that are the people that are being oppressed in America. And it's white people that cannot say anything, that cannot talk about the activities of these other groups without being accused of racism or anti-Semitism. And he's drawing attention to that. And that's the point. That's why this is a positive thing. Because it's bringing up the actions of different ethnic groups within society and making it a subject that can be talked about. And it should be talked about. It doesn't need to be talked about in a way that encourages people to hate these other groups. But the fact that groups do have legitimate interests for their group, white people being a group among those groups, is, you know, it's an important issue. It is responsible for so much of what is actually going on within our society, and we just can't we just can't talk about it. And I think now this is helping so that we can talk about it. But it does worry me that, you know, he could be having a bit of an episode. He could be bipolar or something like that. And, you know, because he's just had this divorce going through, he's lost all of this money. It could seem a little bit unbalanced. And, you know, perhaps the fact he's got Milo there and Laura Luma, you know, they might be encouraging him to push him over the edge rather than encouraging him to reel it back in a bit and just be a little bit more sensible. Which, as I was saying, I would hope that Nick Fuentes would be doing that, but I haven't really seen him doing that. And yeah, I wasn't aware that this wearing a balaclava or a bag over your head was a sort of fashion thing. It just looked a little bit strange to me. So, well, perhaps he isn't then. Perhaps that's just him being himself, normally himself, and it wasn't so bad with Alex Jones. But as I say, that there's so much that's going on here, I do think it's positive for us that these issues are being brought up and are now being discussed. And I've had this allegation like he's being put forward as a leader for white nationalists. And I think that's a very disingenuous way of looking at it. There's far more nuance to it than that. But I could see him becoming part of the Christian nationalist movement that there is in America. That's currently being led by Nick Fuentes, and I think it could be good for that, so long as he doesn't lose the plot and go, you know, and really start having a bipolar episode or anything like that. That's what I worry about. I think. Hey, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, again, I'm really sympathetic because the guy's under. I think he's doing great being under the amount of stress that he is. I mean, you know, we've all been under stressful situations. I mean, right after my own doxing, when I was, you know, I didn't do my best work as far as shows and such back then because just the amount of stress that you're under trying to figure things out. And again, this guy's going through a divorce. He's being attacked. He's being demonized by every media. He's at the front page of every article, you know, and none of them positive in the country. And he's doing pretty well, I think, holding it together. The average person wouldn't. I mean, every person to sit here and look at him and go, well, he's a weirdo, he's nuts, I don't know what's up with that guy. The average person wouldn't be doing nearly as well under that amount of stress. People just don't appreciate it. I mean, the guy, like I say, the guy has all of these mainstream news articles being printed against him. Every one of them is nothing but calling him names. You know, there's nothing but calling him names. You pointed out that white people basically aren't allowed to talk about these other things and to complain whatever about these things. And I would just add to that, now we find out that black people aren't either. Not really. Black Lives Matter is largely a scam. And this is, I think, something he more or less was pointing to, you know, because they didn't accomplish anything for black people. It wound up Black Lives Matter wasn't about advocating for black people. It was about advocating against white people. It was anti-whiteism on the streets, oftentimes violent. And I think this is something more or less he was pointing to. The White Lives Matter shirt unveiling was basically the first real shot fired in this thing. When he whipped that off, I mean, you could just hear like a collective gasp. You're not allowed to say that. Really, you're not allowed to say that white lives matter. That is somehow anti-Semitic. I think that statement in and of itself is just, you really just have to sit back and let that sink in and say, wait, what? Wait, what? I don't know anybody that goes around, you know, well, let's post some real anti-Semitism with white lives matter. It just points out the hypocrisy of the entire thing and really points out that, again, BLM is just largely a scam. They didn't accomplish anything for black people. If anything, after BLM, black neighborhoods are more dangerous than they were before BLM because it wasn't about advocating for black people. Same context as we had this this whole situation and with the, I believe his name's Kyrie Irving, the basketball player. All the guy did was tweet up a link to a movie. No comment or anything. It tweeted up a link to a movie that he watched that's available on Amazon. It's not like this is some dark web, weird conspiracy thing. It's a movie on Amazon. And apparently it's something about, you know, blacks being the real Hebrews to Negroes or something. I don't remember what the name of the show was. And this guy was attacked for it. They made him come and apologize. Like, okay, I'm sorry if I offended somebody. Then they came out with this bullet list. You've got to give $500,000 to the ADL. You got to give, I don't know, $6 million to the Holocaust Museum. I don't remember. They had this whole long list of demands, and the guy got basically suspended from the team. Okay, for posting a link to a movie without comment that's available on Amazon that, from, you know, whether you agree with it or not, is irrelevant, by the way, but from my perspective, is related to the man's religious beliefs. Do you think about that? He posts up a link to a movie that's related to his personal religious beliefs, which again has nothing to do with whether you, I, or anybody else agrees with those beliefs. That's the man's religious beliefs. And he gets attacked. He gets suspended from the team, and he starts getting called all of this. They're still saying, oh, well, you know, his anti-Semitic, you know, anti-Semitic. That's just the man's religious beliefs. This over the top. Now, they kind of reeled that one back in because it looked so bad. I mean, that one really looked so over the top bad. They kind of quietly, you know, let that go off. As far as the whole Milo and now I guess Laura Loomer, I thought it came out that Milo wasn't even actually Jewish, that was kind of a troll too, but I don't remember that for sure. But as far as, you know, oh, now he's got Laura Loomer on there. Now, you know, again, regardless of what you might think of that move, whether you personally would make that move or not, have those people, bring those people in on your team. This is just basic. I don't know. I see these things and I think of how, you know, this is just basic macro versus micro, you know, and anybody that has any kind of reasonable debate, any kind of reasonable view of truth seeking in the world, you understand that. You know, I mean, it's just like back in the days when you could be on social media by and large, you know, and you would point these things out and they would say, oh, well, not all, you know, in exalt, you know, not all of them. Well, nobody's saying all of them. Kanye's not saying all of them. You know, this is just a basic understanding. I guess a lot of people, more people than I think, can't grasp. They can't comprehend the idea that you can talk about behaviors of a group. I think Ye is doing great here. I think I could probably sit down with this guy and have lunch and we'd probably hit it off, you know. Well, that doesn't mean that, you know, well, now I have to not look at, you know, the, you know, crime statistics for, you know, black violent crime in the U.S. That somehow doesn't exist anymore. No, it's the macro versus the micro. We can look at crime statistics and say, well, according to the government statistics, black males are a whole lot more likely to be involved in violent crime per capita than any other group. Well, that's just the truth. But that doesn't mean, well, this guy, then you couldn't have anything to do with him. It's macro versus micro. This is just basic stuff. And the fact that he's bringing these people on again, regardless of what you think of that, that's just him demonstrating that he understands the difference between talking about, well, this large group of people has all of this power. By the way, this guy's a billionaire and they unbanked him. Let that sink in. He had his bank accounts suspended. This is one of the richest, most powerful people in the country, and he had his bank account suspended. You know, this is just saying this is just a demonstration that the man grasps the difference between talking about the macro versus the micro. And, you know, I think that is encouraging because it shows that the guy understands. He's not just off on a hate rant. He gets that, you know, you could talk about a group behavior, but at the same time, you can judge individual people in your personal life by, you know, your relationship with them and your conversations with them. I don't understand why so many people, you know, have a hard time as far as viewing what he's doing. No, my standpoint is one of truth. And so far, I'm looking at the vast majority is what this guy says, and a whole lot of it is truth, and I'm with that. Now, of course, well, what about, no, not every single thing. That's stupid. Nobody's going to agree with every single thing. You and I have been friends for years, Finn, and I'm sure I could sit around and find something that you and I would disagree on if we worked on it hard enough. That's just silly. That's not the way human, you know, that's just not the way it works with relationships with human beings. But by and large, I see the guy basically speaking truth. You know, I see him speaking truth. He spoke about, you know, these people have this overarching amount of power. And then him being a rich billionaire loses his bank account, loses billions in business deals, kicked off of every kind of social media. He's doing podcast circuits basically now because nobody will interview him on TV. The word has gone out. He's hands off. Well, kind of proves his point, doesn't it?
It
kind of proves his point. Now he's been kicked off of Twitter for, I don't know, posting some sort of emblem that belongs to a cult. It was pointing out something about that. And they said that was incitement to violence somehow because posting their own symbology or something. It just, I think the guy is speaking by and large. He's speaking to truth. And I think that's something that, you know, I don't know if you're for truth. I don't know how you're against that.
Yeah, they said that he posted an image of a swastika and an image of the Star of David. And I'm wondering if it wasn't that medal that was struck for that German journalist that went over to Israel during the Second World War. And he was invited over there by the Zionists, and it was for a German newspaper. And they had this medal that was struck, and it's got a swastika on one side, a Jewish Star of David on the other. And it was in honor of the migration that was going on and the Havarah Agreement, where Zionist Jews were being helped to leave from Germany to go into Israel. And I'm wondering if it wasn't that he posted, which had, because that's all I can think of that would have a Star of David and a swastika. And it was a genuine medal. And he does come across as a likable fellow, I think. I mean, they keep saying he's full of hate and spewing hate, but he doesn't come across as a hateful fellow at all. He comes across as very reasonable and not hating anyone at all, and talking about having love in his heart and just wanting to talk about these issues and saying that, you know, they need to be discussed. He doesn't come across as very hateful to me at all. And I think one of the things that's really shocking here, and I think you sort of referred to it as well, Grandpa, is, you know, it's black people realizing that there is a victim hierarchy, because they've been so used to just, you know, talking about white people in these negative terms, saying whatever they want to say about white people, really hateful things, talking about whiteness and just being really negative. And nobody says anything about it. In fact, it, you know, it gets amplified. But then if they say the slightest negative thing about Jews, or, you know, that's not allowed, and they get cancelled and they lose their bank accounts and they lose their social media. And I think this is a real shock to black people to realize this, you know, that they're not at the top of the tree. You know, they can't get away with saying whatever they like. There is this other group there which claims to be standing up for their interests, but that they're not allowed to critique in any way whatsoever. If they talk about them in less than the most glorified tones, then they're going to get themselves into trouble. And I think that's really been highlighted here as well. And what I would like to see is Kanye talking to more black people. Because a lot of this, I think, is aimed at American conservatives, and it's aimed at American Christians. And I would like to see him addressing what he's talking about to black people and trying to be a leader of his community, rather than this, you know, this multiracial thing where he's got Jews and he's also got Fuentes there, who I think is of Mexican heritage. And I would like to see him just addressing what he's doing at black people and trying to be, you know, a black leader, a black nationalist leader. I don't think he's really got a chance of being president. And I think Professor Kevin McDonald said something about this the other day. The fact that Kanye asked if Donald Trump would be his running mate if Kanye went for being president. I mean, that really shows that he's, you know, he's not, it's not that he's not quite all there, but he's slightly unbalanced to think that you know, would have a chance of Donald Trump saying yes. I mean, it could be that what he was doing was just making a joke, and he was just saying that jokingly to see whether Donald Trump would, what he would say. But if he actually said that seriously, then yeah, that does show that perhaps he doesn't have, you know, the grip on reality that we would hope that he has, because I don't think he's got a chance of being president. But he certainly does have a chance of getting these issues talked about, because they are being talked about now. And the lead is off, isn't it? You know, these subjects and Jewish power is now being talked about. It is on the table. It's like when Donald Trump started talking about immigration, and suddenly immigration had to be talked about, and it was being talked about in the mainstream media. And now you've got this Jewish influence and power, the Jewish role in things such as pornography and abortion and gay marriage, and it's all being talked about. And their only way of responding to it is to say anybody that's mentioning it is anti-Semitic, and they're talking about hate. But then you've got, you know, you've got millions of people that are following Kanye's Twitter account. You've got millions of people that follow Alex Jones, and this is being talked about on there. Alex Jones didn't really know what to say. I do think, you know, that Kanye was being a bit over the top, saying, you know, Hitler is, you know, Hitler had these good points and I love Hitler. And, you know, that was probably a little bit silly. And he was probably just trying to get a rise out of Alex Jones and out of the listeners and saying these shocking things. But once they've been said, you know, it's broken the ice, hasn't it? You know, it's been said on the mainstream, and people can bring things up like that and talk about it. So I think it is pushing the Overton window in the direction that we do want it to be pushed in. I hope he doesn't end up being sectioned or anything like that. And I do hope Nick Fuentes is a positive influence on him. And I mean, you could see them achieving some great things. If you think about all the, you know, all the wealth that's there, all the knowledge that's there, if you end up with something with Alex Jones, Kanye West, Nick Fuentes, all working together on something, you know, you could see it really becoming something. Apparently, he's not buying Parler anymore. And I'm not sure if that's because the current directors of Parler have said that they don't want him to purchase it, or whether it's because he's looked at it and thought, well, it's not, you know, it's not really a very good business venture, is it? I mean, Parler really isn't doing that well. It's a shame that he's now been banned from Twitter. And it could be that, you know, this doesn't play out too well because of what he said on Twitter. It sort of pushed Elon Musk into banning him. And that sets the precedent that Elon Musk is going to ban people for saying things that certain member groups in society don't like people saying. Whereas, you know, before that, he has talked about free speech. I guess that really takes us on to another subject there, because we have also got the EU that are threatening Elon Musk that if he does allow free speech on there, they're going to remove Twitter from the App Store. And that's something else that Professor Kevin MacDonald talked about. He said, you know, if they can get Twitter removed from the App Store or removed from Google, I mean, that will really show you just how much power this group has in society. And, you know, I wouldn't put that past them. I wouldn't put them that past them being able to do that. And they could use this Kanye West episode as their reasoning for doing that. But of course it does. It pushes them into overplaying their hand. And it really just makes everybody aware that the sort of things that we talk about here at Radio Albion, that is what is going on. You know, we do have these different groups in society, you know, with this influence and power that vastly outstrips their percentage of the population. And for whatever reason, they have that. And it's neither a negative thing or a bad thing. It's a good thing for them. And if it's used to help us, then it's a good thing for us. If it's used to help them at our expense, then it's not such a good thing for us. But it is certainly a good thing for them. And it should be talked about. You know, there shouldn't be anything that's off the table that's happening within society. We need to be able to talk about all these things so that we can find ways to come to equitable solutions to these sorts of problems that we identify. Perhaps I'd like to see Kanye West coming out with some more solutions rather than, you know, just identifying the problems. He needs to come out with some positive solutions, I think. I guess that's my takeaway from this. But what are your final thoughts on all this today, Grandpa?
Well, we could go on. We could do like a 4-hour talk on this. It's a great conversation. First off, like with the Twitter thing, this just shows the problem. They keep acting like this freedom of speech thing, and they're writing numerous articles about it here. They act like this freedom of speech thing is this really complicated topic when it's not. It's just simple. It's such a simple thing, you know, actual, you know, calls for violence and, you know, real calls for violence, which is already illegal because it's classified in this country as terroristic threats, you know, are not allowed. You know, this is the problem when they use these vague terms like incitement to violence, because then someone comes out and criticizes government policy and then, well, you're inciting violence because somebody could hear that and that could hypothetically motivate them to do a violence. Well, you know, anything could hypothetically motivate a unstable person to go do violence. That's just nonsensical. And it comes to, like, say, Twitter, they need to have absolute, you know, objective you know, rules. This is, if you don't violate this objective rule, then you don't get banned. It's that plain and simple. As far as the EU coming out and making their threats, I would call their bluff. No, they won't. Can you imagine how many people in the Europe that are citizens of the European Union that are on Twitter? You want to see right now, they're already got people upset and mad because they can't afford to heat their homes. Food is getting scarce. They have runaway inflation because of the Ukraine thing. And they're going to turn around now and cut everybody's Twitter off. I would dare that bitch to do that. Pardon my French. I would dare. I'd call that bluff. No, they're not. That's simply a bluff. And as far as, you know, wanting to see him more targeting black people, I mean, I don't necessarily think he's avoiding that. He went on that Drink Champs podcast, which was pretty, I would say, pretty much a predominantly like a black type of show, maybe a not. But, you know, as he has already himself has already pointed out, the mainstream civil rights stuff as far as for the black community is basically being run by this group of people that he's in conflict with. So I don't know how exactly he gets a toe in on that, with the exception of, say, Louis Farrakhan. But, you know, you don't hear any more from him than you do from Kanye. I mean, except to be demonized. So I don't know exactly, you know, necessarily how he would do this. I think it's great. Yeah, the whole thing with, you know, the Trump thing and everything, I thought it was funny when I read that he walked in there. I mean, you just got to applaud the nerve to walk into Mar-a-Lago and tell Trump, who's seething when he hears that Ye is going to run for president, and have him come in and say, it's okay, Donald, you can be my VP. You can be my running mate. Yeah, I just think that's something hilarious. That's something I could totally see myself doing. So I thought that was funny. And you know, as far as the election itself, it's irrelevant because our elections are all hoaxed here in this country now. Now that we have normalized election fraud by and large through mail-in ballots, you know, that's kind of irrelevant. You know, I don't see anybody with any meaningful desire to change things for the better ever getting elected again. Now, that's my personal opinion. So that's irrelevant. So as you've said here, and as we wrap up, though, it's important at this point with it is the fact that you have people out in the public that are willing to stick their necks out and discuss these things. And it does. It brings it into the conversation. You have more people talking about it. And honestly, I think that should be a good thing. I think it should be a good thing. And I think it's something that if it wasn't being opposed with nothing more than name calling and hysterics, I think it could be overall a healthy thing for our society by and large.
Yeah, definitely. It's always better to keep talking rather than to stop talking. And as I say, I just hope that he has some good influences around him. And I hope that Nick Fuentes turns out to be a calming influence. And yeah, we'll just have to keep watching this space. Certainly exciting times that we are living in. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.